I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.
Coming at you live from the capital wasteland of anime, it's Three Man, and this is Otaku Melancholy. This is Otaku Melancholy, well, the Otaku Melancholy podcast, back at you again with another episode. And it's so good that you're joining me again. I'm grateful to have you here. And as you can read, today we're going to be discussing a topic of video games that could make pretty solid anime adaptations. Well, that's always with an asterisk because, as we know, that video games can't be adapted into anything except the times that they can. Like The Last of Us and Detective Pikachu. Those are the prime examples I have. I thought I had more loaded up in my brain gun, but it seems that the bullets just aren't ready. They're just not here. So, don't really know how this episode's gonna go. I mean, originally the plan was to have 10 video games that could make solid anime adaptations, or at least enjoyable enough to make anime adaptations, in my mind. Of course, these are all games that I've played, so, you know, there may not be a lot of content there, or maybe there will be. I don't know. That's kind of the problem of solo podcasting. I don't know when the conversation ends. I have to bring that up with myself, and good Lord, do I not like talking to me. It's just such a problem. I'm just such a hard person to work with. I always talk back to myself. I just can't deal with it. I'm just not in the mood to handle myself. So, hopefully we'll have a lot of good times here. I've loaded up 7 games, just ones that I could think of immediately, and I said, oh, there's something there that I really, really would love to see just put in some sort of anime format. And plus, lately, hey, who even watches anime? We don't watch anime here. Look at this dork listening to this podcast. They like anime. Everybody laugh at them. Just to guffaw and ridicule them. No, I'm joking, but seriously. Just slide right on into how my week's been since the last time you and I had a good old talk together. Not a whole lot has been happening with me personally. Like a Dragon Isshin came out, and that's really been consuming my time en masse. I thought that this would be the season where we got back into seasonals, and we would talk those with some regularity, but good God, a whole lot of video games came out. And a whole lot of books have been on my plate that I just can't ignore. I mean, Like a Dragon Isshin, I've already, at the time of this recording, I've had it for 2 days, and I got 12 hours in it, so it's telling you where all my time's going. And if you don't know what Like a Dragon Isshin is, it's basically for lack of better nomenclature, I guess, it's a Yakuza game. It's basically a brawler. It's all the Yakuza characters, Like a Dragon characters, thrown into ye old Japan to retell the story of the Shinsengumi. It's more Yakuza. It's not like it's Yakuza. It's Yakuza. It's one of my favorite game franchises. So of course I have been devoting myself wholly to that, to an extreme degree. Especially since they've got this like farming simulator aspects in Like a Dragon Isshin, and if you know me, you know I love to farm, and I love farming, and I love simulating, and I love Japanese crime lords, and this has just got the perfect mesh of all of it, so it's really been hard for me to just not drown myself in this game, absolutely, which is a shame, because at the same time, I recklessly purchased Marvel's Midnight Suns, which is an amazing strategy, deck-building, card simulation, friendship simulator game that is also pretty rad, but it's been completely eclipsed like a midnight sun. Oh, I have mastered comedy wordplay and all other sorts of any sort of humor. It's just hard. No, but for real, Isshin has completely eclipsed Midnight Suns as being the thing I want to play, but what can you do? It's just how it rolls. So really and truly, I think it's just, my free time has just been completely devoted to Isshin in the past several days, and I've been reading, but do you really care? I don't know if you do. I don't know if anybody really cares, but I'm going to tell you anyways, because we got to bump up this number to like an hour, you know, maybe an hour and a half, you know, get that good content in and making it really work for you and me, hopefully. But I've been on my big Stephen King kick. I would recommend wholeheartedly. I don't know if I talked about them last week or the week before, But you should definitely, if you're just even curious about Stephen King, you should go listen to the podcast Just King Things by Range Touch. It's a really good podcast where they break down his books. They're going to read all of them in order. It's a really cool premise, and it's kind of a little helpful. If you don't have friends like me who engage in reading and all that, then it is a godsend, because you can just listen to these folks and say, oh man, yeah, that's a great point. I'm loving your points. Tell me more. So it really works out well for me. So maybe you should go check that out. So speaking of Just King Things, I've been listening to the audiobook version of It, which is 45 hours long. That's insane. I'm at 10%, and 10% is it's 4.5 hours. That's unreal. I'm never going to get through this thing. But I still got to go to work, and I still have a lot of time to just listen and just not pay attention to things there. So maybe I'll get to it by 2 months. I give it 2 months for me to finish. I give it 2 months, because knowing me, I'm going to get burned out halfway through, like 22 hours in. I'm going to say, this is unfair. This is cruel. I can't do it anymore. And then I'm going to drop off and go listen to something else. And then I'll come back to it like a month later, and then I'll just binge it in a hurry. I bet that's what's going to happen. So it's really the only thing I can come up with now that I've been doing. It's just Isshin and listening to It. So there you go. If you want to get more of my impressions of It, maybe I'll do an It cast or something for a Patreon, because I have like this weird connection to certain authors, and one of them is actually Stephen King, because when I was younger, my mother actually used to read his books out loud to me when I was like going to bed. Now, a lot of you may be thinking, why? Well, sometimes I did want my mother to read to me when I was like, when I was younger, around 4 or 5. And my mother is a very gracious woman. She's, if I ever have said but negative things about her on this podcast, a lot of them are in jest. She's really tried the best with what she had. So, you know, love you, Mom. But she would, every now and then, I wouldn't have a book at the ready. So she would just say, hey, you're not going to know what's going on. Could I just read this out loud to you? You just basically just want somebody to talk to you, right? And I would say yes. And so she would read some Stephen King to me. And I remember she read The Gunslinger, and she read something else, but mostly I can just remember The Gunslinger, because it's the only Dark Tower book I have, and honestly, I've never even finished it, but I have it, it's there, and I'll eventually read it whenever I get through this King binge, or as you listener may or may not know, I'll probably get burned out in a couple of weeks, and then I'll never even think about The Gunslinger ever again, unless I reminisce about my mother. But hey, them's just the breaks. And we just got to drive our car until it eventually stops. But yeah, it's hard, I guess. It's kind of hard to do these solo podcasts every now and then. Like, where do you shift to? Where do you drag the conversation to when you want to change topics? I mean, I'm just talking to myself out here. Just talking to myself. Mostly right now, I'm talking to this IKEA plant that's in the corner of my desk. It's kind of peeking behind my little second monitor thing, and I'm just looking at it, focusing on its beautiful flowers, and just thinking, you know, how delightful it is and what a wonderful, beautiful plant it is. And yeah, I guess I'm mostly talking to it, really, truly. I'm just staring at this plant. I'm giving this plant the dead stare right now. And that's it. That's who I'm talking to. I'm just going to talk to this plant. But anime-wise, I actually have been on some of my manga bullshit. I'm completely just running through tangents at this rate. I actually kind of got to a point in Cross Game where I said I'm going to stop for a little bit, rest my eyes, rest my soul for a little bit. And moved on to reading Gintama again, which is, let me put something about Gintama. I think Gintama is hilarious. It is hilarious. The manga is hilarious. What I saw of the anime, perfectly amazing as far as humor goes. It really comes from the same breed as Sket Dance does, or Sket Dance comes from the same breed as Gintama, because that mangaka worked on Gintama and all that as an editorial assistant. No, it's just an assistant. So there's a lot of the same DNA in Sket Dance that dwells in Gintama. So I really enjoy Gintama for that. And it's really funny. My thing is that, I don't know. I just don't know why I can never connect with Gintama on that way where I just consume it in a binge. You know, there's a lot of other franchises in anime, humor-wise, that I just went through in a binge. When I was reading through Urusei Yatsura, I went through that in a binge. I was reading, like, you know, two volumes at a time, mostly because Viz packages them that way, but that's not the point. So I would just consume them en masse, and I've consumed a lot of other humor en masse like that. And so I just don't know what it is about Gintama that isn't clicking or resonating with me as much. But Gintama is still perfectly funny, and I really hope that someday I get out of my little funk of not being able to consume anime, like big, large chunks of anime goodness, and just go through Gintama the anime, because again, it was funny when I watched it. I just don't know what it is. Maybe it's the episode count that just nullifies any of my well-being and well-wishes towards finishing anime. I don't know. Maybe I just don't like commitment or like Herculean tasks or just even doing anything. Maybe I just don't like doing anything. I don't know. But I guess that's basically all I really have as far as anime and manga goes. We got Like a Dragon Isshin. We got Stephen King's It. And we got Gintama. Those are my big three things that have happened this week for me. And hopefully a lot has happened with you. I hope you're doing well. Your listener, hope things are going well in your little world. I hope that whatever you have had going on is really successful. And I hope you'll, I just hope you do well. I hope you're doing great. Hope you're doing amazing even. As we go into, if you're listening to this on Sunday when it's released, I hope you go through Monday, through the rest of your week, and you just have a lot of fun times going on, and that everything works out well for you. I'm just repeating myself ad nauseum, so let's just slide right quick into a break. And then we'll go into today's main topic. Hey folks, it's Matt here to talk just a tiny bit about Boomslank. Boomslank is an anime apparel and lifestyle brand that has super unique style and art across their entire lineup of phone cases, posters, hoodies, t-shirts, and stickers. I actually really, really love their stuff, which is why I'm so hyped to talk about them, because you know I'm an actual fan of theirs and their lead artist, Shinobi P. I have their Mania phone case and their Leo hoodie, and they're both these kind of things that my coworkers who aren't into anime, usually, and my friends who are definitely into anime actually say something to me about, because they both have this kind of spirit and design that you're not really going to see anywhere else in the market as far as anime apparel and those kind of products go. So that being said, I'm super excited to say that if you want to get some Boomslank merch and help support the podcast in the process, you can go to their website, boomslank.com, and use our coupon code at checkout, Otaku Melancholy Podcast, that's all one word, and you'll get 10% off your purchase. Or if you just want to go straight to their website, you can go to the www.boomslank.com/otakumelancholypodcast to just have that coupon code automatically applied when you go to checkout. So yeah, a huge thanks to Boomslank for reaching out and offering to help and support this podcast, because it means so much for, you know, a brand that I actually like and that Audrey and I both really admire to help support us. And just in case you didn't know how to spell that, it's boomslank.com. And there's even a link to their website with our coupon code in the show notes of whatever platform you're listening to this episode on. Thank you guys for listening. This, back to the episode. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the break, or at least pretended to enjoy the break. But if you did not enjoy the break, then you can go to patreon.com/otakumelancholy and get break-free episodes, also known as sponsorship-free episodes. And you also get your name shouted out at the end of every episode, as well as access to a super-secret Discord channel and super-secret Patreon-exclusive episodes that come out very infrequently. I'm tremendously sorry, dear patrons. But hey, you'll still shout your name out at the end of every episode, so that's pretty cool, right? I hope so. I hope that's cool enough to warrant it. But yeah, you can go to support us on patreon.com/otakumelancholy for as little as $30 a month. And it would really mean a lot if you did, but it would also really just mean a lot if you continued listening to the episode and supporting us that way. So thank you regardless of what you do. Let's just get on in today's main topic, video games that I would think could be okay, decent anime. And to top this off, I have seven anime pulled up that I thought, man, this could really be something that I would love to see in an animated format. But during the course of doing the research, because every time you think that you've actually made, you've gotten a good idea, I assure you someone else has already thought of it three times already and done it better than you, or at least that's my personal perception on it, or maybe that's just a little bit of cynicism mixed in with my identity. But overall, yeah, no, so while I was doing this research, I was trying to think like, oh, this hasn't had an anime before. No, this hasn't had an anime before either. Yeah, this hasn't had an anime as well. And then it turns out that I was wrong about a few of those. So I have a couple of honorable mentions that I had to put an asterisk next to because I said, oh, well, they had an anime adaptation, but I think it sucks, and I think more could be done with it. But I'll fly those off at the end of our listings. So, yeah, I have 7 video games that I personally would really think could translate well to an anime medium in some shape, form, or fashion. I tried to keep it to anime series, because basically anything could be made into an anime movie. I mean, Persona 3, which is kind of one of the grindier, just video gamies of all the Persona games, got made into a 4-part movie series. So obviously, if there's a will to make money, there will be a way to make that money. So, we'll see where it goes. Hopefully you'll enjoy this list, or you'll have something to contribute to it yourself. As always, if you have any ideas or anything you would like to present, you can always do that on our Discord, or you can send me an email at otakumelancholypodcast@gmail.com. Or if you're listening to this on YouTube, which hopefully it will be on YouTube, because, hey, YouTube is where we should be putting the episodes to begin with, you can just say them in the comments or whatever. I don't care. I just want to know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. How's it going? Is it going well? I hope so. So feel free to talk to us about that, and I'd gladly like to read them and see what your thoughts and opinions are on the subject. But right now, it's my opinion time. We'll get to yours later, if you have the need to say so later. So, it's an odd list of 7 video games that I think could be made into good anime, or at least an anime, or just make it into an anime. I don't even care if it has to be good. We've just seen in the past that video game anime don't have to be great. I mean, the only exception that I'm thinking of off the top of my head is that Akiba Strip anime. Now, you may be saying, but wait, Matt, that anime kind of sucked. Wasn't it done by Gonzo? Past their prime Gonzo? And I would say to you, yes, it was done by Past their prime Gonzo. But it really knew what it was adapting. So, good on you, Gonzo, for taking a mid-brawler and turning it into a mid-anime. I don't know. Oh, Kiri's gonna hear me talking shit about Akiba Strip and then just barge in and beat me up. But yeah, Akiba Strip, that was a good one. That was a good one. That was a good one. Beside the point. All right, so I've just got these in no particular order. It was just as I came to them, and I rewrote this list because I kept saying, like, well, this game, how would you make this into an anime? So I'm basically gonna try to pitch it a little bit. I originally had the intention to also include a studio, but then I was like, what studio could make an okay anime that would just perfectly happen? And every time it was A1, A1 Pictures. I said A1 Pictures could do this one, not because they're particularly talented, but because it would definitely be something that would be feasible for them. I mean, if you were going to be that kind of anime fan, you'd be like, oh, you know, Madhouse could do this one. MAPPA could do this one. You know, all these big anime studios could do this. Why can't KyoAni do the Yakuza 0 adaptation? And really, truly, that's just, I don't know, that's really all that feasible. A1 just was like, they'd be there, they'd put it out. That's just the most reasonable. So for all of these, just assume that A1 Pictures is making this adaptation. So nothing too spectacular, but nothing too bad either. So there you go. This is just the conversation and where we're taking it. So just to lead off, you already probably know what one of the games that I think could be a fantastic anime, just based off that previous statement, and that is Yakuza 0, or Like a Dragon 0. It doesn't matter really and truly. But yeah, in case you didn't know, Like a Dragon, or Yakuza, and how would you not know at this point, is one of my favorite game series. I love brawlers. I love crime. Not committing crime, just experiencing crime. Not being a victim of crime, but, you know, crime stories and all that. And Yakuza, as a brawler, has always been over the top and has mixed a lot of things like these little mini games. You know, you got bowling, you got the cabaret clubs, you've got the hostess dating stuff. All that stuff that just mixes together with this hyper-serious crime story. And it's just so absurd. But at the same time, by that same Japanese absurdity, it lends itself perfectly to an anime adaptation. And let me say this. So Yakuza 0 is a game that has 2 point of view characters. There's Kazuma Kiryu and there's Gojo. Is it Gojo? No, it's, you got freaking MAPPA on the brain, you dumbass. Goro Majima. And in the story of Yakuza 0, their paths never really connect in a meaningful way. It's kind of just one is in one area and another is in another area. And you kind of see how these 2 big characters for the Yakuza franchise got their start. So my idea for this anime would be to just pull a Danganronpa 3 on this one and have one episode be about Kiryu and one episode be about Majima, and just alternate one to the other, one to the other. That way you always get this nice crisp, just cliffhanger, and then in the course of the cliffhanger you get to another episode of a different character, and then that ends on a cliffhanger, and then you just go to the next one, and then you just have this, you know, just back and forth cliffhangers every single week, because that's really where the story in Yakuza goes a lot. It usually just ends on, constantly the chapters end with, and then your brother is also here, and he's taken over the second part of the crime syndicate, oh my god. So it really could just lend itself to being perfectly just bingeable and a great story. But another reason why I think it lends itself perfectly to a good anime adaptation is just having little side stories, you know. You know how you watch some good anime and then after the credits you get like a 3-minute bonus scene or something about that? These 3-minute bonus scenes could be doing stuff like the stock car racing, you know, or just one of the characters playing, you know, arcade games, or doing any other medley of activities, and that could just be the perfect last three minutes, not stinger, but I guess I'm going to say strawberry for each episode. You know, that nice little strawberry that tops your cake. It could really work well for that. So kind of blending in all these elements, you know, one story, here's Kazuma Kiryu just dealing with this murder mystery. And then over here is Majima trying to take care of this blind lady. And it'll just be week after week. Good cliffhanger. 24 episodes. You know what? I'm going to say 26. 26 episodes. Or maybe, I don't know, 24, and then the last one just be a special little side story that kind of blends the ending of Yakuza 0 better, so you have the main characters really interacting more. I don't know. But again, A1 Pictures could perfectly do this. And another stipulation to that, though, and I've heard some discourse on this while I was online doing research for this very topic, because Yakuza does have a movie, a live-action movie. And honestly, really and truly, if you've ever played one of the games, you can kind of just see that it's a more cinematic experience. There's a lot of setup, a lot of setting that really kind of just works better for a movie, I feel like a live action film. But the absurdity of it, I feel like, is perfectly blendable with anime, which is something that I always kind of look into anime as to be something that I enjoy from it, and that is a little bit of mixed absurdity. That's a little bit of just leaning so hard on the rules of our world that we kind of break it a little bit. It always feels a little bit like to me that a lot of anime has a really malleable sort of experience. Like everything can be built freely to be gaggy, it can be built freely to be serious when it wants. And Yakuza itself kind of just leans into that sort of malleability factor of just being able to bend one way and be shaped in whatever way you want it based off your experiences. And I choose Yakuza 0 mostly because that's the most popular one from my experience, and plus it's kind of a period piece as well. It takes place in the 80s, and you know, who doesn't love a good story about the 80s, you know? So it's that economic bubble, that bubble. Everybody likes a good bubble. Didn't everybody watch that movie Bubble on Netflix? I feels like they were that one week. So yeah, definitely everybody will love this anime adaptation. I'll just go ahead and sell you that. The rights to that to you just right now, A1. You want that, even though I hold no rights to Yakuza, but I'll do it. I'm always looking out for you, A1 Pictures. I've been looking at you forever. You're my beloved. I love you, A1 Pictures. Not really, but you know, I doubt you're listening anyways. Oh, this is a shit show if there ever was one. So, speaking of shit shows, let's go right into my second pick for a video game I feel like could have a perfectly serviceable sounds better. Let's go with that one. Craig, don't keep that other take. Don't keep serviceable. Anyways, but here's another game that is one I watch people play more so than I actually played myself, but I did play it when I was younger. But I did love the atmosphere, and honestly, it leans itself really into some anime trappings as well. And that game is Haunting Ground. Now, if you don't know what Haunting Ground is, then, so, imagine you are playing a girl. I know that's hard for some of you, but just imagine that you are playing a girl who is trapped in a mansion and who is being chased by just all sorts of enemies, and you got a dog to protect you. And every time you get a little bit scared, you go into panic mode, and it really just messes with your game, and that is Haunting Ground. And Haunting Ground, why I say that it is perfectly serviceable as an anime adaptation, is one of the things that Haunting Ground really wants you to do is be attracted to its main character, Fiona. I think that's her name. Yeah, that is definitely her name. I don't know why I doubted myself. So the game really wants you to just see how frail and about how soft Fiona is, as well as just put on display all of her sexual attributes. For example, Fiona has a lot of cheesecake, for lack of a better word. And so the game is constantly, from some of the cutscenes, kind of saying like, hey, look at this girl. Aren't you sexually attracted to that dude who is clearly playing this game? You want her to stay alive, don't you? Of course you do. But Haunting Ground is a game that it's kind of the same vein as Resident Evil, except you only have a dog to protect you. You're constantly being chased. There's no real safety. You can hide, but if the chase sees that you're hiding, they just pull you out. And it's really scary. But why I think, outside of just Fiona and the fact that a lot of anime will just, you know, for some reason just be like, look at this character. They're so sexually attractive. Aren't you just enraged and just filled with rampant lust by how attractive this character is? I feel like that could work for an anime, because that's clearly what they were doing with Fiona in several cutscenes, and just how she's presented, especially with her clothes and all that. And one of the endings, which I'm not going to spoil, but I'm not going to spoil any of these games really, but I feel like that, as well as just world building on this setting. The setting itself is kind of leaning in more to that sort of alchemist, that sort of, you know, the ye old alchemist, not the Full Metal kind. You know, there's a bit of a difference, in case you didn't know. So I feel like a game that kind of just built the world more for these elements that exist in Haunting Ground, because really and truly the only thing that you kind of get is, hey, these characters can do this. Hey, this is the main goal. This is what they want. It's very tying into, like, you know, that Flamelian, that sort of storytelling with alchemy. I feel like if you built the world a little bit more, did some more flashbacks, especially with the big bad, you had a little bit more tension with Fiona, then things could work really well. Have a little bit of back and forth with some of the characters. Because some of the chasers, I'm just going to call them chasers, in this game, they kind of start off just as not casual friends to you, but they're almost apathetic towards you in certain situations. They just chase you when their intentions need you to be chased. So maybe having Fiona restructured to live in this sort of, having to live in this mansion and just experience things that way, I feel like it could really work for an anime, especially if there's a lot of tension of, is this character trying to use me? Are they trying to get this, this property from me? I don't want to spoil anything for this game, so I'm trying to be a little bit vague. Although it came out in like 2005, this game's like almost 20 years old, Jesus Christ. So really and truly, if there was something to have from it, it's going to be impossible to find anyway, so you're going to have to emulate it, since there's never a remaster release. It's a Capcom game, so that's kind of honestly surprising that they haven't remastered it, put it in a bundle, did anything with it. Although maybe at this current time, you know, they really did kind of sexualize the ever-loving crap out of Fiona. So maybe this is just, it's not a game that's viable in today's market anymore. I don't know. I know nothing about how this thing works. I'm just throwing out ideas. And if you don't like them, then you don't like them. I don't know what to say to you. So that's one of my ideas. I really feel like Haunting Ground, when I played it, it's terrified me way more than any other horror game. But that was just because I was completely defenseless and the dog didn't always do what I wanted. So maybe you should go watch some people stream it, or just watch a playthrough, walkthrough of it. It's pretty scary. The being chased is always scary in any regard. Chased romantically, chased physically, chased like the drinks. Like, you don't ever chase your drinks. That's illegal. That's illegal. We don't do that here. But no, I feel like there's a lot of content there that could really manifest itself to like a nice little horror anime, a suspense anime, maybe 12 episodes. As I said, A1 Pictures, they'll just pick it up, slap it there, bada big, bada boom, $500 in your pocket. There you go. Just for you, I gift this. For you, I gift this A1 Pictures. Adapt Haunting Ground, a game that's not relevant by any sort of standard today. And if you heard of it, that's cool. I don't even know how it came to me when I was making this list. It just channeled through just this ancient DNA in me where it just said, remember Haunting Ground? It changed you as a person. And I said that it did. I guess I should say that it would make a good anime adaptation, right? Right. And speaking of things that are right, here's another video game that I think could really work for a decent anime adaptation. But again, this one is also going to be a little obscure. Or will it be? It literally just got a remake, remaster, whatever they're calling them these days, announced about 2 weeks ago during the Nintendo Direct. And that game is Bait and Kaidos, Eternal Wings, and the Lost Ocean. And I know what you're thinking, because my dad certainly thought the same thing when I put this on my wish list at Christmas. What is that, and why should I care? So, Bait and Kaidos, in case you're uninitiated, which I would assume is a good bit of people, because again, another weird, obscure game, is this fantasy RPG that takes place in the clouds. Basically, all of the landscape is in the clouds, because they just had to leave the earth. And you know how much anime loves just being in the clouds. You know we love a good floating island in an anime. So right there, bada bing, great anime right there. Castle, there's even a castle in the sky. Like, what do you want more from anime outside of that? You don't want anything else outside of that. You just want castles in the sky, and you want people with wings. So basically, because these people live in the skies, they all have wings that they can summon to fly from place to place. And they're called Wings of the Heart. Our main character, Callus, however, only has one wing and is viewed as tainted and corrupted. But to offset that, he can talk to a guardian spirit that he has summoned. And during the course of the game, the guardian spirit is actually you, the player. Like, during certain scenes, Callus will look at the screen and go, "Hey, what should I do here?" And you have to tell him what to do. And he generally does not give a single shit what you have to say, but there's like this illusion of it mattering by you agreeing with Callus and him going, "You know what? You're right. I was right. You're the best friend I ever had," voice in my head. But all the characters do this weird thing where they look at you when they want to talk and get your opinion. And there's even this thing that I've seen people defend about the game. If you actually go and watch a playthrough of the game, you're going to notice that a lot of the characters sound like they're talking really far away and through a toilet paper tube. And there was a justification saying, the audio is supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be like that because you're talking through another realm. They're looking at you, the guardian spirit, through another realm. So, of course, it's going to be just jumbled and just it's going to sound archaic and it's just going to sound awful. Well, that's an excuse. Then I should just use my, I should just throw out this microphone that has taken up a good portion of my desk and just use the one I got on Amazon for $5 way back when and say, I'm connecting to you through your soul. It works really well. It's an atmospheric thing. That's why I'm using this $5 microphone that I once used to kill a bug on the wall. It's atmospheric. No, just don't defend yourself. Just say you made a bad decision. Just say you made a bad decision. But anyways, so there's all the setup. And obviously in video games, you have the ability to, you know, utilize player choice. You have the option to say, hey, you can infer a little bit from the story and make your own decisions. But if you're watching it as an anime, then you really don't have any choice in how the story progresses outside of it stopping completely by you choosing not to watch it. But people on the internet are still going to watch it. So what good and power do you have? Not a whole lot, I would really say. So what are they going to do for an anime adaptation? And I feel like you should just do a creepy little thing like that anime One Room, which I don't know if that's creepy. I only saw like one episode of it, and I kind of get the vibe. Or the anime where the girl sleeps and talks to you, or the one where the boys sleep and talk to you. And just have every now and then, maybe the characters look at the screen and say a little bit, you know? Put you, the audience, in the role of audience, and just yell at the screen, talk to the screen. Although that's me being a little bit sarcastic. I know it doesn't sound like it, but just have them talk to the screen every now and then and interject a little bit and just, you know, maybe make that your POV. Because the game uses pre-rendered sort of environments, so you're constantly stuck in an angle looking down on what's happening in the scene. So it does kind of give you this vibe of that you're an omnipotent force that's viewing a scene from a certain perspective. And maybe that could work as an anime. It would be really weird. I could see a lot of people complaining about it. But overall, the world of Bait and Kaidos really has a lot of elements in it that I feel like would be really cool animated. There's a scene that starts up the game when you load it in, you know, kind of like how those games about 2001 to 2008 always had what I'm going to call a hype reel, where there would be just cut scenes from the game or cut scenes of scenes from the game that probably might not be in the game itself, but exists solely for the purpose of hyping you up for the thing that you have already paid money for, or maybe rented. I don't know. Rentals were still a big thing back then, so maybe there's a reason for that. But you could have this whole hype fest, and you could go in and you could just play, you get ready to play the game. Bait and Kaidos, in my opinion, when I first saw it, I thought, man, this is a luxurious hype. It's so good. So much hype. I love it. And so I could really see some of these aerial battles that you get involved with in Bait and Kaidos because, oh, that's another thing. I really should just formulate this better. So Bait and Kaidos also has this thing where it was a deck builder game. You set up decks. And the thing was that the decks were called, like, the cards in them were called Magnus. And by using the card, you summoned the item or you summoned whatever. I feel like that could be a really cool effect in an anime adaptation. And obviously, in this day and age, we can get a lot out of 3D effects for it. Because you're just flying through the sky, bam, 3D shots. You could do so much with 3D shots in the sky. And one of the things that I feel like Bait and Kaidos also leans itself perfectly to an anime adaptation is that it has a interesting story. It really has a big plot twist midway through that I'm not gonna say traumatized me as a kid, but made me just go, wow, everyone is awful and full of crap and I might hate them all. So that was really a good game to formulate my cynicism as a young child. Or I can't even remember when I played it. I know I played it at an age where I thought names for songs like Iconoclast were peak, so maybe 12, 11, I don't even remember. My time is an illusion. It just goes. There's no point in trying to observe it by any means. So yeah, Bait and Kaidos, The Eternal Wings, and The Lost Ocean, there's a lot there that I think could really make a good anime adaptation, especially because it does lean heavily on some, just like I said, trappings of anime storytelling, and just in the sky. What? In the sky? Yeah, in the sky. So there you go. That's anime winning formula right there. And I'll give you that for free, A1 Pictures. I'll just give you that for free. But also, when the remaster comes out, you should play it. It also includes Bait and Kaidos Origins, which is fundamentally a better game in a lot of ways, but I think the story sucks more than the original. But that's just how it goes sometimes. So let's just move on to the next game I feel like would have a perfectly amazing anime adaptation, and that is No More Heroes. This is basically just a highlight reel of all my favorite game series, really and truly, now that I'm looking at this lineup of games. And yeah, No More Heroes is the game that if I had to put like a pyramid of the founding blocks of my personality, No More Heroes is somewhere on that pyramid, because it is a Wii game that is hyper-violent and hyper-bloody and stars a murderous otaku assassin named Travis Touchdown. And if that has not already got you going to your nearest video game retailer to go buy like a $3 copy of the game, then I don't know what could possibly influence you anymore. But no, seriously, it is a really silly game. It is a game that revels in otaku culture. It just is hyper-violent. It's just absurd, and I love it so much. Just to the original, especially to an absurd degree. But it's got a lot of these cutscenes in it that have a very cinematic flair, but at the same time, they're just so ridiculous and over the top, with things like people getting their heads cut off, people being slashed through, you know, the middle of their bodies. There's a whole lot of just absurd and just ridiculous violence in this game, just beyond the mooks you fight. And so why I think it would make a good video game to anime adaptation is not just the fact that it's hyper-bloody and hyper-violent, but really and truly because one of the best things about this game isn't the actual gameplay. I hate to say that, but you gotta look somewhere deep in yourself and say, this is a fact, this is not a fact. And here's a fact, is that the gameplay of No More Heroes is serviceable. It's not great, though. The second game, No More Heroes 2 Desperate Struggles, is objectively better, I feel like, in every way. The story, towards the end, maybe not so much, but the gameplay is not that good. So maybe we just cut out the gameplay and put in all the absurd story stuff and all the cool assassins and all of the neat little fight gimmicks and stuff that they have, and just make just a hyper animation conglomeration, you know, just everything silly, everything wild, and just make a story out of it and take away all the grinding you have to do to get things like, you know, the money you need to enter the assassination contract, because that's one of the things that you have to do in the game, is you had to get money to pay for your next level, essentially. So you would have to do these things where you would grind to get money, but jobs, like part-time jobs. And while this is not an episode that's going to be in my dissertation on No More Heroes and how it is fundamentally deconstructing the fanatic lifestyle, but the fact that you basically just work and work and work until the next sort of fulfillment and the next sort of happiness, the next sort of climax in your life, really kind of, I thought it was really, well, I didn't think of it at the time. At the time, I just thought it was just a grind I had to do because video game, LOL. But now I see that it's more of kind of putting the otaku culture, at least this is my viewpoint, might not be your viewpoint, and if you have a different viewpoint about No More Heroes, I would love to hear it because I love talking about that game. But really and truly, I thought it was just something to say that this is just what it's like to be in that sort of culture. You work until you get your next hit of a high, be it, you know, a video game, be it a figure, be it whatever. You just gotta work until you can get that next release. And Travis himself is an actual scumbag. But his apartment's really cool, and it's I would like an apartment like that. And the main character, Travis Touchdown himself, is obsessed with a magical girl. I think it's a magical girl anime called Bizarre White Lover, Bizarre Jelly. Is that what it's called? Fact check me on that, Craig. All right, I was right. Oddly enough, that also is a fact that is ingrained into my brain. I don't know where that came from. I thought I surely got those words mixed around, but hey. So he's already obsessed with an anime, and you could literally just make an anime adaptation out of this. I forgot what this anime was. Genshiken. Gosh, why did Genshiken just not come to me? I can remember Bizarre White Lover. I can't even remember it now. Bizarre White Lover, Bizarre Jelly. Pure White Lover, Bizarre Jelly. There you go. I got it right the first time. Don't argue with me. So you could just do that. Adapt the anime within the anime, like Genshiken did. Genshiken made like an OVA series off of the anime that they were obsessed with in it. You could just do that. Although I doubt that that would reach nearly the same leagues of popularity as Genshiken did. I'm just throwing out ideas for you, A1 Pictures. Stop arguing with me. I'm so sorry. So I feel like No More Heroes, if you just took the insane balls to the walls, just fight scenes, like, and you just took the unique characters and had a little bit more of a threading of a story, then that could really work well for an anime. I mean, you don't even have to have that much. I mean, how much story could you need? How much story could you need? As I said that, I literally just remembered that Nier Automata has an anime adaptation that's currently airing, and that's got surplus amounts of story. Just borrow some surplus story from Nier Automata. Just scoop it up. Just go to your neighbor and borrow that. It'll work really well. It'll be great. Nier Automata's not using all that story. There's no way it's using all that story. Just take a scoop of it. Let's go. So No More Heroes, it could really work, I feel like. Or at least, I don't know, an OVA, 3-episode OVA, have Travis fight like a new assassin or something, just do that. Although I guess it probably won't. If it's not happened at this point, it's probably never going to happen because the third game came out. And I think it's just stuck in like hell right now because No More Heroes 4 is really not going to happen. I'm not sure. As much as I would love for it to happen, I don't know. I just don't know. Regrettable sigh. But there's a lot there to make an anime out of. And I'm just saying, A1 Pictures, if you're listening to me, you could do it. After saying A1 Pictures long enough, maybe they're not the ones that I really want to do this. Maybe MAPPA should handle this one. Although they probably never would because they're the prestigious. Such a prestigious studio that wouldn't dare touch something that wasn't already 5 billion copies in circulating. Yes, I'm MAPPA. Yes, this is what somebody who works at MAPPA sounds like, although they probably talk like this because they've been working on 500 different anime. No, but serious. The next game on my lineup of games that would be perfectly acceptable anime adaptations in some shape, form, or fashion is, if you could not tell from the start of the podcast, from the setup, from the very entry line, is Fallout 3. And you may be saying to yourself, Matt, Fallout 3? Why Fallout 3 in particular? You could have just said Fallout. Matt, why did you say Fallout 3? Give me answers, Matt. I want answers now, right now, Maddie. Give me the answers. Why Fallout 3? And I pick Fallout 3, mostly because of the fact it's the Fallout game I've played the most, so I'm more familiar with the contours of the story. Actually, maybe Fallout, I've played more Fallout New Vegas. But the point being here is that while Fallout New Vegas is a little bit more open-ended, Fallout 3 is not. Fallout 3 as a story is kind of, it's kind of linear. No matter what you do, the end story of getting the Gek and all that, it's going to fall into the same sort of story pattern. So there's no real way it can diversify itself. So I feel like Fallout 3 might be the best thing to kind of take a story and make a story out of that. Plus, you got a giant robot right there, Liberty Prime. That's what you need in anime, right? Giant robots, and there's giant evil kaiju things, right? Little kaiju, the rad scorpions, all that's kaiju, right? I'm not completely wrong on this one. Deathclaws, I was trying to say Deathclaws. Rad scorpions are different, but Deathclaws, those are kaiju, basically small scale kaiju, but still kaiju regardless. And I feel like there could be a lot of story in Fallout 3 that you would, if you could just expand it into that general premise of that world, there could be a solid little anime just following the story from that game, really and truly, I feel like. I mean, plus you're searching for your dad. That's like anime pro tag material. That's like, y'all like Hunter Hunter, don't you? Trying to find your dad. You love that. You ate that up. Here it is again, Fallout 3. It's just Hunter Hunter, but post-apocalyptic, right? Right. All right. So I feel, obviously, the story there is a lot more linear than New Vegas. I have only played like 2 hours of Fallout 4, so I don't know anything about that story. I know you're looking for your son, but who cares about looking for your son? I mean, that's practically, that's nothing. Nobody's looking for their son, but looking for your dad. That's anime 101 right there. That's your thesis statement for anime. And Fallout 3 itself, well, again, I've played just a smidge of Fallout 1 and a smidge of Fallout 2 and a good bit of New Vegas. New Vegas is just too open-ended. There's so many, you basically have three different, basically five. So there's just a lot of different endings you can pursue in that game. So what would be the canon one? How would you really pick something that could be kind of like, I guess that's to the acclaim of what Fallout New Vegas does, and that Fallout New Vegas, each sort of ending has its pros and cons. I mean, I guess Caesar's Legion has a pro, but I'm not sure about that. But there's essentially, any way the story could go, it would probably work out in its favor. And we don't like that. We like solid stories. We don't like open-endedness. We need to know exactly what happens. And we need an interpretation of the story that could work well. And I'm saying that jokingly, because really and truly, if you pick something like saying, like, people chose the NCR, NRC, I forget what they're called, they're irrelevant to me. But if you pick the NCR ending, then you're going to pick off the people who pick just the neutral ending. But Fallout 3, you can't really pick, like, a hard evil ending. You can just pick tasks that are evil, but that's beside the point. Talking about the anime structure itself, you really could just follow that core story and then have, you know, brief little interludes of filler plots over all the different sort of side quests you could do. I mean, you're traveling to find your dad, but along the way, the main character, the vault dweller, whatever they're called, they find, you know, a town, the Township of Dave, and you have an episode about the Township of Dave. I mean, the Township of Dave, that's one of the highlights of the entire game, right? Town of Dave? You know what I'm talking about. People know what I'm talking about. The Town of Dave. Town of Dave is really, it's really, really sad. Really sad story about that Township of Dave. It's been forever since I played this game, so I don't even know. I'm talking out of my ass completely right now. But that's just a general premise of this podcast now, isn't it? So, yeah, I feel like Fallout 3 could really work. And I feel like the Japanese anime medium hasn't really explored, like, the, I want to say the American post-apocalyptic scenario. There's a different sort of sociological viewpoint there. Japan actually had, you know, had a nuclear experiment. What the hell, Matt? So just from an outside perspective, I think that how we view a story about a nuclear fallout and how they view is going essentially different. But I'm not involved in sociology. I'm not involved in anthropology. I can't tell you how that affects the conscious and unconscious of the people who have to deal with that in their lives or have had that affect their country. I can only give you my perspective. But I have always thought that it would probably be how they handle a story of that scenario and how we handle are different, because that's not in our public consciousness as much as it might be in theirs. But this is all speculation, and it's all me making just broad jumps and broad claims that could wholly be incorrect. But I would love to see how they take the world of Fallout and how an anime could be utilized in that world, especially because I do feel like it's very Western focused. It's very it's about that 50s culture, that sort of what is it, it's called something like atomic punk or something like that. So I feel like there's a lot for Japan to really latch on there and make it their own. I feel like you really could take all that sort of dull color and splash it into anime in a form that really transcends just what Fallout 3 was presenting. Because I look back on Fallout 3, and all I can really look at, all the colors I can really see in my mind are just green everywhere. Same about New Vegas, though, it's just except for the orange. So, I feel like an anime adaptation, or maybe not even an adaptation of the Fallout 3 storyline, but maybe just, you know, sort of like the Animatrix, or what is that, like Star Wars Visions, where they take aspects of the wide world at large in that realm, and then implement it into make little short stories. I feel like that could work wonderfully with Fallout universe. Not just Fallout 3, but I feel like there's a lot of potential to be done with that. And I'd really look forward to seeing. I would really look forward to see it. And maybe not even with Fallout. Maybe this is just me talking completely out of pocket. But there could be a lot to just be done with any other sort of post-apocalyptic video game series. I mean, Wasteland, that's still a thing, right? Wasteland 2, 3, those games, you could do just as much. Hey, maybe if you were just stretched thin and really wanted to just adapt something wild and wacky, they could just do Disco Elysium, except Disco Elysium is a whole different beast of many different colors, and I think that would suffer from the same thing as New Vegas, because who really is the main character in Disco Elysium? Like, who are they, except what you make them be? So, I don't know. But Fallout 3, or just the Fallout world at large, that could be a great video game that turns into an anime really excellently, at least in my humble opinion. So let's move on to the next one. And oh boy, here is a controversial pick. The one that I don't know about this one. But I mean, it's the one that I said when I was playing this game, I said, oh, I wish there was more lore to this. So I don't know. And my pick is Overwatch. And yeah, okay, I can hear the simultaneous boos and just rampant bullying that's already occurring, because, yeah, Overwatch 2, yeah, it ain't them. I had fun while I played it, and I had fun playing with people from the server, but, yeah, it ain't it, is it, Chief? Not anymore, at least. But when the game was in its heyday, and I was playing almost every single day, I was obsessed with the characters, obsessed with the lore, obsessed with where these characters were and how their relationships affected each other. I remember when Doomfist's gauntlet was in the starting area of that one level, and it was when it got broken free and removed, there was this whole thing of, oh, Doomfist is coming, oh, here comes Doomfist, and then Orisa showed up, and then Doomfist occurred. But that's me reminiscing on bygone days that will never be replicated again. But I feel like Overwatch has a lot of characters there that really have unique designs that would really translate well to some sort of anime movie, anime OVA series. The fact that Blizzard kind of does this whole Pixar BS and tries to make like these little shorts, I'm saying BS just sarcastically, but they try to just make these little vignettes and little stories of each of their individual characters and try to like pass that off as lore. That's okay. But I really would love if there was an actual story to Overwatch, because I still think the core gameplay, I liked playing Overwatch. I mean, I really did enjoy it. I just think that if you want to get into the lore like I was trying to get, it's just not going to be there for you. It's going to be, you're going to be left out in the cold completely, because Overwatch doesn't care about its lore so much some days, as much as just the wiki cares about exploring the gaps between the lore. And so an anime adaptation, just an anime that tells like a little brief story, I feel like in a perfectly acceptable, just, you know, hour and a half movie, that could really work for something. It would at least give these characters some dynamic range outside of just some of their in-between match voice quips and the things you can get like that. But there's also like 50 characters at this point, so what am I even saying? But I would really love for that to be a thing. And I don't know, I mean, they're practically, as someone said, and I think it was Triple Click, because you know I talk about Triple Click in every single episode, I think Kirk Hamilton actually said that Overwatch is basically superheroes, or maybe it was Jason Schreier, either way, both cool peeps. But they basically said something along the lines that Overwatch is essentially superheroes, and so there's a lot that it's a property that affords itself that sort of superhero treatment, and I agree with that. I feel like you could just make a story like a Marvel movie based off of it. Just, you know, bad guy quips fight, bad guy quips team up. You know, basic Marvel movie 101. There's a lot there that it could really afford to be used in anime in some form or fashion. Or maybe we'll just make a Marvel movie out of it. I don't know. Superhero movie, I guess, is a better term. I just call them Marvel movies at this point because I'm a freaking boomer. But I feel like there could be something there. Maybe not a full series like I was saying earlier, but Maybe this one could just be a movie. Maybe just a movie. Maybe just three movies. There you go. You could do a lot with that. A1 Pictures, step it up. Get it now. Now. Do it now. Do it. You won't? All right, cool. So we're going on to my final of my 7 picks. And I saved the last for last. I really did save the last for last. I couldn't think of... This is a kind of a weird list to kind of compose because there's so many games that really do have adaptations in some shape, form, or fashion. You see, there's a lot of things that have that are adapted in some shape, form, or fashion. So what do? When you want to pick something and it's already got an adaptation, but because you're an American, it only got adapted into a 3-episode anime that you can't find on even the deepest, Russianist of streaming websites. But this is one story that I really loved as a kid who loved this franchise and as an adult who is smitten with this franchise for what it does at some points, but I've never been really into it like I was when I was a kid. And just to just go ahead and say what that is, because I hate when podcasts, movies, reviews, or anything kind of do this thing. But the series I'm talking about is Fire Emblem. But, asterisk, the game that from the series, because it's kind of like Final Fantasy, each game really doesn't connect to each other except the ones that do. There are sequels like the one I'm about to talk about and its sequel. But Path of Radiance, the one that has Ike in it, as you may or may know if you are a fan of Smash Brothers, is the one that I really could see an anime adaptation being made out of. And that's because it's almost essentially Star Wars, really and truly. It is essentially a Star Wars story with Don't Be Racist added into it and a little bit of political intrigue. And for the uninitiated, Fire Emblem Path of Radiance is basically about the main character of Ike, whose dad is a mercenary. They're mercenaries. They get involved with a political war, the Kingdom of Dayan, that invades another country. And that they're like, oh, shit, we better make sure that that doesn't affect us. And then they end up helping out the princess of the country that's being invaded. I think it's Corneria. It's not Corneria. It's from Star Fox, you dumbass. But anyways, they take it from a country and a princess from a country, regardless. Don't insult yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself, man. They take the princess, and they're basically at that point kind of involved in the political machinations of all these other countries who don't want to get involved but are forced to, as Dan just does, like, more and more asshole-ish things. But eventually it does become spoilers for a game that's, like, again, 20 years old at this point. God, I am such a boomer. Eventually, Ike's dad, Grell, gets murdered, and he kind of takes up this, I will get my revenge, but oh wait, I really can't because I'm trying to save this kingdom, or at least I'm trying to help this princess, and that's all I can really focus on. But I feel like it would be a great, Fire Emblem did have an anime adaptation of like a three episode adaptation of the first one, the one with Marth in it. That's really what these all are. It's like, you've got the one with Ike in it. Yeah. You got the one with Marth in it. Oh, you got the one with Roy in it. Ah, you got the one with Corrin in it. Oh, that's really what these games are. As someone like me who's played Smash and only played Fire Emblem, like, right every game before Path of Radiance and then fell off completely. But Path of Radiance itself had a story that as a kid I was really just intrigued with because it had that perfect little blend of mysticism or fantasy elements alongside this weird political intrigue of characters saying, like, this is our holy kingdom. We're not going to get involved with anything that kind of goes against our faith, and you need to pass through here, but we're not so sure about that. And oh wait, we don't want to piss off this kingdom. Because I like a good political drama. I say that, and then a political drama actually unfolds before me, and I say, ooh, that's gross. So get that away from me. But Path of Radiance, I feel like, did a solid blend as far as just a video game story with having that mercenary element that people who are low, low, low on, like, the totem pole as far as it's concerned with the machinations involved in all this political intrigue. And then they get kind of brought up more and higher on the said totem pole until eventually they're fighting, you know, they're fighting the big evil of this story. And I think, like, that's, you know, that's what you always want to do in an anime, right? You want to start off small. You want to just fight the rival. And the next thing you know, you're fighting the reincarnation of God. That's just how anime works, right? I'm fairly certain. No, I'm not. But I feel like the Fire Emblem story mixed with a little bit of that political intrigue and mixed with just Ike as a character who I feel like is very likable. He's kind of flat and bland, but of all the Fire Emblem characters, he's the one at least who isn't just, I'm a prince and I'm royalty or I have esteem and I want to fight for what's right. He is just a dude who whose dad taught him how to wield a sword, and he is forced in all of this. And the fights, I feel like, could be really engaging in some way. I don't feel like you could actually translate what Fire Emblem is, which is a turn-based RPG, and not turn-based RPG, like, you know, Final Fantasy, but, like, tactical turn-based RPG, and then implement that well into, like, fight scenes. But every single fight generally had a character who was big and important to the army, and you could just throw that in there, have a lot of fight scenes. I mean, Ike's ability moveset itself, he throws his sword up in the air and then catches it and throws it down on his enemies. That's perfect anime technique right there, because what happens if you throw it up? You throw it up, and then guess what? The earth is spinning, so it comes down at a different angle. Not that the earth spins that fast enough. I just tried to sound like an intellect, and it didn't really work there. But there's so many factors where that wouldn't work. It's just an anime move. And there's so many anime moves involved with, like, Fire Emblem itself. So it's just, it translates very well to being an anime story. And I haven't, just a little factoid, I have not watched any, as far as these shows that did have anime adaptations or had anime standalones or anything like that, I haven't seen it, so I don't know what the Fire Emblem OVA series, if that's of any quality, or if it was just a simple thing to just sell, throw out there, and there it is, you'll go watch it. There you go, give us your $10. But as far as just the story of Path of Radiance goes, there's a lot of characters in it, like a sickening amount of characters in it, because these games have to have characters, because once they die in the game, they're gone for real life. But they're gone for real. So I don't think it'd be one of those games where you could focus on every single character, because how would that happen? But I feel like you could just keep that Fire Emblem essence where some of the characters die, and that's for good. We don't have this anime deaths where it's, oh, that wasn't in a flashback, so it doesn't count. Or, oh, that doesn't count because they're just going to show up on the next episode, right as rain, and everything will be fine. Right as rain. What another boomer slang. You got your boomer mind, Matt. So Fire Emblem could raise the stakes by having characters like Boyd or Reese or whatever those dudes are named just dying and them staying dead, because they're not relevant to the game's plot, because if your characters are expendable, you can't really keep them in the plot, right? Because who knows when they'll be there. They're so situational. So I feel like if just somebody took the Path of Radiance story, maybe picked it up, maybe trimmed off a little bit of the branches, because I do remember when I was a kid going at one point, like, why am I going through the desert? The desert's dumb. I hate the desert. The desert's stupid. So you could trim some branches. You could have a lot of quality content there if you just kept with the story of a mercenary rising up to eventually becoming a small-scale superpower in this war. And again, Fire Emblem's hot. It's a hot property. Didn't Engage just come out? And that one's got a VTuber main character. So, you know, keep on it. Make anime adaptations, Nintendo. Nintendo, why don't you do it? A1 Pictures right there. I don't know where this A1 Pictures meme comes from. It's really dumb. But Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, if you got like $100, it was an expensive game. But still worth playing today. Or you could just, I don't know. I'm just saying you could emulate it if you were bored. Not that Nintendo would ever want you to do that, and probably would sue the pants off of you, because that's just how they operate at this point. But you could do that. So that's my 7. But now I'm just going to, I have some quick ones, honorable mentions that either had adaptations that I didn't care about, or just I didn't really even consider them because I didn't know too much about them. It's basically just 3 games, really and truly, so don't like think there's a huge list, because we could always do a volume 2 of this at some point or another, so we don't want to close off too many alleyways for us to pursue this street, if you catch my drift. If you don't catch my drift, that's okay. I don't catch my drift either. Just talking out of my ass. So just Monster Hunter, for one thing, was on my honorable mentions. I said honorable mention because, for one thing, I've only played one of the games pretty seriously, that being Monster Hunter Unite, and a little bit of Monster Hunter World. And then it turns out that there was actually an anime adaptation of Monster Hunter Riders or Ride On or something like that, which is weird because it was done by David Productions. And I was just, David Productions? You did an anime that wasn't JoJo's? Who knew about this? Though I guess they did that Bento anime, if you know, you know. It's one where they fight to get cheap food. It was pretty good. Pretty good stuff. David Productions doesn't just do JoJo. They sometimes do Fire Force. Another one that I had listed was the entire Tales of series. For those who don't know, Tales of is basically a series of Tales of Arise, Tales of Vesperia, Tales of Berseria. There's so many of these Tales games. Tales of the World, Tales of Phantasia. They're just like Final Fantasy, but you don't. They're like Final Fantasy for hipsters in Japan. Not really, but they are really a really popular series over in Japan, and Tales of Symphonia was one of the first RPGs I played with an almost devout religious behavior. I played that game so much. You could get multiple character endings, but it's like a 70-hour long JRPG, and my kid self, who had that kind of time to invest in a game, got three endings, I remember, because I got Sheena's, I got Zelos's, and I got Kratos's. And those are Kratos. It's Kratos. He's not like the God of War guy. But devoted a lot of time to that game and saw multiple endings. I'm not even really that different of endings. But Tales of Symphonia and all these games usually do have anime adaptations. There's Tales of Zestiria that had an anime adaptation, which I heard things about. Nothing positive, but I heard they were there. And Tales of Vesperia had a prequel movie, which is a cool concept, expanding and opening up the world like that. And Tales of Symphonia had an OVA series, which I watched like two episodes of. It's okay. It's kind of just a neat thing to watch because you've seen these characters before. Maybe I'll finish it someday and maybe I'll make content out of it. That would be really cool, wouldn't it? Says the two people who actually care that listen to this podcast. It would be cool, wouldn't it? To both of you Tales of Symphonia fans who would gladly love to hear me review an OVA adaptation of a video game. But the Tales of series kind of fell in my honorable mentions, mostly for the fact that I've only played like two to completion, and also they almost always have anime adaptations in some shape, form, or fashion, and also they're kind of anime in themselves anyways. They almost always have anime hype intros, and generally they do get anime cutscenes in the game, so basically anime are there already, so what can you do? My third one, and my last one for my honorable mentions, is Legend of Dragoon. And the only reason why this is on here is mostly because I played it as a kid, and I was aware of it, and I thought it was based off an anime as a kid. It just had such an anime sort of aesthetic, you know, like a very 90s anime aesthetic. Just these characters become dragoons, and they had, the main character had the headband, the classic 90s anime character headband, 90s, 80s anime character headband, and the useless character died early on. I thought it was anime when I first played it. I was so convinced. I barely knew what anime was when I played it, but I knew that this was anime, and Legend of Dragoon, I feel like, could, it doesn't have an anime adaptation, but it does have a manga one, so it's kind of adheres to what little bit of a code this honorable mentions thing has. But not too much. I mean, who reads manga? Oh, nobody reads manga, says the guy who reads manga. No, but Legend of Dragoon, maybe someday, maybe never, probably won't get an adaptation for real. Sony doesn't care about it, and I guess neither do I. But those are kind of my honorable ones. I had more, but I'm just, some of them, I don't know, there's a lot of them. We could save that for another episode, couldn't we? We could. I agree. Thank you for agreeing with me, Matt. You're welcome, Matt. But this was an episode. I would love if you had any ideas or games that you really thought could be made into an anime, if you would maybe address them, send them my way somehow through the email, mention them to me on Twitter, do whatever, mention them in the comments. If this is on YouTube, Matt, you got to put them on YouTube now. You got to be with the big boys and big girls and big peoples. So just, if you have any ideas, I would honestly love to hear them, because this was something that I thought was really cool. It's just a discussion point, and I mean, people have far better ideas than I could ever, I mean, I'm literally just saying, all these could be done with A1 Pictures. A1 Pictures could do all these. This is just bada bing, bada boom, quick set and release. Nobody can argue with that, right? Right. So I would love to hear your ideas and concepts for video games that could be made into anime, and how you would do it. I would love to see how much detail you could put into this, and what your thoughts and opinions will be on this subject. But the subject has run out, which means that the episode is over. And speaking of things that are over, we have been the Otaku Melancholy Podcast. You can go to our website, otakumelancholy.com, to see all our links, including those to our social media, like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can even join the Discord and hang out with us there if you want to. And if you especially wanted to, you could go to patreon.com/otakumelancholy to support us for as little as $3 a month to help the podcast grow and pay for things such as the website's upkeep and new equipment. I'd like to thank our patrons for supporting and helping to make this episode, like Anime of the Week, Chris S., Cream Puff Coon, Darth Egg, Earthworm, The Anime Brother, IKEA Plant, Jalvin, Moe Soda, and Steered Marlin. Thank you for supporting the podcast. no matter what it seems, and helping to make this show great. We love you and appreciate you so much. And I appreciate all of you for listening to this episode as well. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye, take care, and gambate. And hey, the earthworm brother, what the...